Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Well, welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we have Executive Chairman of Galileo, Colin Bird. Colin, basically RNS yesterday explaining that there's a few issues with Lewin Sobey and the license. The floor is open. Explain to us the past, present, and hopefully the future.
Well, that's kind of you to give me the platform to do that, Kevin. Obviously, I'll do the past and the present, and difficult always in this sort of situation to project the future, but I'll do my best there as well. And now, before I start, I think that it's probably very appropriate that I'd have warned that legal proceedings are here and there with our partners, and I don't want to make statements which would obviously be judgmental and trying to argue what could be a court case, which probably will be a court case, either in the podcasts or in the press. So I think what I'll probably do to assist our shareholders to assess the situation and yourselves, of course, is to make a series of statements. And I think at the end of that statement, you'll probably realise where we are. It's neither defensive nor attacking. It's a pure statement of facts. And I should say, I should go through it quite slowly, but obviously not waste your time. But first of all, when we acquired these projects, we did considerable due diligence on the status of the licences. The licenses of the asset, the people and peripherals from secondary. We did full due diligence on the licenses and were satisfied from the documentation trail we saw from Cooper Lemon and obviously with Nauska Setunga that the licenses were granted. There was a letter from the secretary of Mopani with having no objection to the issue of the license. And exploration licenses were duly submitted. So we satisfied ourselves and went on with the exploration deal. We worked, we drilled, we examined the place, we created enough information to assist Setunga to apply, not to assist, to do all the underlying technical work and technical submissions to apply for a mining license, which was duly given. So as you can imagine, Kevin, you go from exploration to mining, and no one said anything to us about the status of the licenses. So it does pose the question, why on earth would you transfer from exploration to mining if there was an underlying problem with the licenses? So that sounds a little bit, as a statement, as a bit of an own goal. Yeah. After that, we conducted extensive drilling, despite the fact that we'd got a mining license. Designed the mine, the flow sheets, everything which is necessary for a mine, did all the financial costings and everything. And so went into a situation which was well beyond the requirements for a small license with a view to mining. Now, there's a suggestion around that if we'd not, I think I've read on the bulletin board somewhere that if we hadn't have dilly-dallied and let Mopani onto the ground and start work, we wouldn't be in this situation. Mopani had got no rights to go onto the ground. There was a cease and desist order against them. It was only when we commenced work, did all of a sudden Mopani get interested that there might be ore in the ground and ore that they would like. So, but before that, we'd put a cease, or we hadn't, Setunga put a cease and desist order in, and Mopani were not allowed anywhere near the property in any event, to trespass, to take photographs, to go to core sheds, to do all the things that they did. And basically, they just carried on. They were not allowed to talk to people and to interfere with our good title. And so consequently, there was then contempt proceedings launched against them, and not the company, but individuals, which again was successful. So I think I'd like to make very clear to our sort of audience that we, in actual fact, was working on the ground, commencing the pre-strip with equipment orders identified, and we were ready to start work. So that's very important, because there is a suggestion that we allowed Mopani on and the license was revoked, we'll get to that later, because we actually did no work. It's the absolute opposite. We did so much work. It really, really, I'm very pleased with our team. High quality work, supported and assisted by a sound engineer in South Africa, all of it independently verified. So we certainly didn't dilly-dally. We were vigorous. During that period, it's also suggested that, it was a bit of a figment of our imagination that there was a lot of interest in the project. We entertained numerous groups who were interested in investing in it. And this was one of the dilemmas. There was talks of outright purchase. We weren't too keen to sell. Joint venture of investment into Galileo, of buying a part, of doing work with us where one company, for example, wanted to supply the concentrator while we supplied the ore. So there were so many permutations, combinations that, yes, we did look at many, we did kiss a lot of frogs. And I think it's my duty in particular, and it's the board's duty to maximize value for shareholders. So we don't dilly-dally and take the first offer what comes through the door. Back to the word dilly-dally, you did entertain offers, and we were basically within a heartbeat of signing. Well, we were actually into definitive paperwork, and we were close to making a sizable agreement, which is even more frustrating for me, for you, for the shareholders. But there you are. We were very, very close. So any suggestion that we just talked to a couple of groups, there's an email chain, there's meetings chains, there's visitation evidence that will support that I and the group talked to many, many, many other groups. The time of wrongful service, one should take notice of that. We're at a stage now where basically government was to be dissolved, and we're in the election period. So that came pretty close, pretty close. It was issued by the wrong person who was not empowered to issue. The only body that's empowered to issue or cancel licenses is the Mining Commission, and they were not at all involved in the process. And the person involved in the process had just not got the rights, nor did his appointment and his mandate allow him to take that action. So the letter, well, was taken lightly, not ignored. You don't ignore letters, but taken lightly. Again, that reinforced Situnga's cease and desist order. And again, it was emphasized to them and that they should not get involved in what is lawful license. And I'm going through this logically. So that's where we are. So I think what also, Kevin, what we put in the RNS yesterday should be read very carefully. At no stage have we been served court papers suggesting that Mopani, or anyone else for that matter, is the rightful owner of those licenses. So there's a bit of smoke and mirrors here. And it was interesting to read on an internet the mysterious disappearance of the license, because it is a mysterious disappearance of the license. It's Houdini, because quite frankly, there's no protocol, there's no legal framework which allowed the person involved to write that letter. And so the mysterious disappearance of the license is not the sort of thing that goes in an RNS, but really would have been well placed in that RNS. It is a mysterious removal from the cadastro. Why haven't we been, there's a suggestion that we've been sleeping, and when if you snooze, you lose. Quite frankly, Kevin, you can't cry till you hurt. What papers could I file? Because, as I say, and I'll go back to 2 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, I'll repeat, we have never been served. Situnga have never been served with the papers to say the rightful owners are Mopani. So, as a strategic partner, we can remember we're investors in Situnga. As a strategic partner, how on earth could we go filing papers in court when we'd actually not been hurt? There was nothing to fight. You can't go walk in a pub and clout the nearest guy because it suits you. There was no good reason, and there still is no good reason. But of course, we are robustly defending the removal of Situnga's name from the cadastro. That is beyond the pale. That is not acceptable. It's meant that any party we're talking to, the parties we were talking to, we had to cease negotiations because if you were the other party, Kevin, and you saw we'd been removed from the cadastro, would you want to do a deal? Would you want to complete a deal? And of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. So from that point of view, the damage, and we will pursue for damages. The damages are quite extensive and quite significant. So, and I guess as a final statement to the roast and to the group or anyone who's listening, is that we have done no wrong. We are absolutely convinced that all our actions have been correct, have been quick, have been vigorous, and been consistent with the president's wish to get to a 3 million ton of a year producing nation. We wanted to be part of that. We were on our way to creating over 300 jobs. We were on our way to creating over 300 jobs. We were 6 or 7 months away. We'd got many options to add value to that project. And other people's actions have actually suspended the operation temporarily, basically caused shareholders in the United Kingdom to be nervous about their holding and their position. And you've got a UK company who's made a strategic investment who basically has been severely disadvantaged. And there's places to fight that, and there's places to go. And you know as well as I do, Kevin, that we will consider, because I've told you before, expropriation may have to be the route. But I do hope that sense will prevail and we will find Situnga's name back on the cadastre sooner than later. I think that's the summary. Hopefully answers a few points that questions people might have.
Yeah, well, we don't really at this point want opinions, so I think it's best just to state the facts. One thing I would say to you is, what is the legal situation between Galileo, as obviously a UK company, and Zambia? If this is proven in your favour, what are the advantages of the fact that there is an agreement between the UK and Zambia?
Well, I mean, that obviously will be taken. I'm sure that the judiciary will take that into account. Should we file expropriation or should we go any other route which involves the judiciary? I would say that we have an excellent relationship with the IRA, the higher echelons of Zambia, and this is most important, most unfortunate. You will, from my opening remarks, I said the timing was somewhat coincidental that you're about to dissolve Parliament and you get a strange action like this. So that, that's, I think that's more than a coincidence. Zambia has got a free press. Zambia has got a strong judiciary. Zambia is British law, and there are agreements between the two nations and very good relationships. And as far as I'm concerned, we're the just on a personal note for Galileo there, that we're probably, our activities in Zambia are probably more than any other, certainly more than most of the majors, but particularly inactive in the country. There are just a few juniors. And I would say actions like this doesn't assist the exploration effort and the finding of new mines. So we're going to pursue this. We've done the work. We've done the work. We've got the level of interest. We're moving towards jobs and new copper for Zambia. And I do hope that when the elections have been decided, or before the elections have been decided, that sense will prevail and we will reappear on the cadastre and be and then have the confidence to get on with our work of opening up the Luanshya mine. And that's the situation, Kevin, again.
Okay, I think that's a good roundup and give people an understanding of what the situation is. We're not going to talk about or even ask you about timelines or whatever, but I'm assuming from the way you've spoken and the fact that legal action has already been taken that hopefully this isn't going to drag on for months and months and months. If it goes back on the cadastre, then it's done.
That's it. It's as simple as that, Kevin. And as I say, I could cry before I was hurt, because the only hurt is the removal of from the cadastre. There's been no legal challenge to our ownership of that license or Situnga's ownership of that license whatsoever. So, but nonetheless, it has to be on the cadastre.
Okay, Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Galileo, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Kevin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.